The hit podcast Zane's World found a new home on Podcast One.
La Gonzalina. Probably should have corrected that before the show.
World traveler, author, and alcohol aficionado Zane Lamprey is well-learned in the art of embracing a good time as he reviews the best attractions and destinations on the globe.
So we went to Black Market Liquor Bar.
Just tell us what you remember.
That's what I remember.
Check out Zane's World every Tuesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanshore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new edition of Shift and Steer. Racing, rides, people, and places. We haven't said that in a long time. Because the guy on the recorded thing always says
it. You know? I forgot about that guy.
You forgot about that guy, didn't you?
Yeah. Did we still have that guy?
We paid him once, and he still talks every week.
It's the best $30 Brad ever spent.
It is. I think it was $50, and it was. It was the best money I ever spent. So, hey, you know what?
Money's worth, huh?
No kidding. Hey, every show for like the last 5 weeks has been SEMA. Even last week's show, we had Doug Campbell in talking about his GT 40 and we kind of followed up on SEMA. So we're done with SEMA.
Yeah.
We are, except for one thing.
Yeah.
What's that one thing, Matt?
I don't know.
We'll be back next year.
Yeah, well, we will.
So,
I thought you would wait for our check.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking, too.
Let's not talk about that right now on the air. But good news is,
Aaron and I are on the same page on this one.
Good news is, all good. Matt already asked me about that, and I told him, check's in the mail.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Hey, what I want to get, I want to clear the air on something, though, because I was very offended this week. And it wasn't just by Kevin Hart and his statements, but
his statements from
12 years ago. People get so offended by things that happened, you know, a decade in the past.
And I think people like to get offended by stuff.
I think people are just offended by anything anymore. So
yeah.
They're probably offended by me saying I'm offended. So, you know, it's...
You know what? That hurts me.
I know. See, it does. I'm raising my voice.
Yeah. Calm down, Brad. So what's going on with you?
No, I was offended this week. I got a text from Aaron Hagar.
That guy.
What?
And he said that he sent me a picture of an El Camino, and he was defaming El Caminos.
Really?
Yeah.
He sent me a very sweet, charming text about El Caminos.
Yeah, it was pretty offensive, Aaron. I mean, you know, telling me that they were the mullets of
the
automotive world.
They totally are, yeah.
That was pretty good. Huh?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Now, I've got to admit, I love my El Camino, and I've had it forever because I don't know if you guys ever know how I acquired that car.
No, you've had it on CarCast with us. We took it to Pomona.
It's been in the SoCal Speed Shop. It's been on the cover of CarCraft, but the way I originally acquired that car was...
It was on the cover of...
Mullet cars.
It appeared in Joe Dirt.
I just watched that yesterday.
Yeah, see, man. And
I just had an E to the end. Call it Dirt Day.
Joe Dirt's what we watch on Christmas morning,
right?
Hey, but no. The way I originally got that car was my '67 Chevelle. Was in pieces because I was rebuilding the motor. And then, as many of us have done, and Matt, you know well, that cars take longer than we plan.
What?
And I was borrowing a ride from this guy, borrowing my parents' car. And my mom had this really nice 71 El Camino. And mine is actually not an El Camino, by the way. It's a GMC Sprint. And so she had this nice GMC Sprint. Which is interesting because when I was restoring it, I took the GMC logo off the dash and damn it, if it wasn't a Chevrolet emblem underneath and two holes drilled in it.
Was it really?
Yeah.
They couldn't even take that off?
They used the same dash because it had Chevrolet molded in it, and they just drilled two holes and put a little plate over the top of it.
That's fantastic.
But my mom had this nice El Camino that, because she was a professional restorer of antiques. I mean, very rare antiques, and she would go get stuff, haul it. That was her truck to haul stuff in. And she was getting a new El Camino. And so I talked my parents out of that El Camino, and because my car was in pieces, and they were glad because then I didn't have to ask them for the keys to their Chrysler Cordoba or anything like that.
So you got mom's El Camino.
Got mom's hand-me-down.
Right.
And that's how I acquired that. And you know what? The Chevelle's still in pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's funny how we do that. We get into a car project.
Don't say we.
Hey, you've got a lot of projects too there, buddy.
How we get into these car projects and we get, you know.
I'm in the 90% club now.
Yeah.
What, 90% of them undone?
No, backwards.
We get into these projects, we get, I don't know, 60, 70, 80% done, and then you kind of run into a roadblock, and you're kind of getting a little burnt out, and you're like, I'll just finish it later. Let me start something else.
Yes.
And then nothing, you know, then the other one never really gets done, and then you're kind of working on the next one, and I'm definitely in that right now.
I have to admit, guys, that that's why I have loved my SEMA projects, because they have that hard
deadline.
They've got to be there. There's so many companies that have participated, and those are the cars that I've built that, I mean, they've gotten done, and they've gotten done right. And then I, you know, get them back, and you got to do all the things that, you know, still needed to be done. And because now you've obligated them to be at this show or that show. And
yeah.
I mean, that's the good thing. And, but I mean, you know, life gets in the way. We all talk about that. And, you know, all of our listeners are out there. They've got their projects. And, and how many guys, Aaron, you probably can relate to this too. Guys that own shops that are body men or they're chassis guys, and their car never gets done because their job
absolutely
is doing that.
Yeah.
And they don't ever get it done.
All of my projects have been kind of older stuff.
True.
So that I think the next project for me is going to be like something new, like a new car, and just kind of hot rod it out a little bit, you know. And it won't be as radical as the other ones, but it'll be something along.
What do you want to build next? That's a good opportunity to ask everybody what they want to build.
Right.
Next.
Okay. Well, I have an idea on it, and I can't say it yet. Although we've talked about it a million times, so it's probably out there. But I'm working on the deal for it right now, and then we'll make a big announcement about what the new car is going to be.
Is this the one you talked about a couple of years back or a year back or something?
No, it's been fairly recently.
Okay.
But it'll be a fun project. It's nothing super surprising, but I just want to wait till we sign the deal.
I know. I'm always like, you know, with mine, I see things and I go, oh,
yeah,
I'd love to build an outlaw Porsche, or I'd love to do this, or I'd love to do that.
Well, yeah.
Well, this will be like a fairly new car.
Yeah.
This will be a new car. And actually, you and I have talked about it because I asked you about.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah. I asked you about some pieces for it as well.
Yeah. And
whatever it is, I'm going to make it into an El Camino. So
well,
that's,
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what
I
I'm
would hope
do.
So.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I'm getting at is that what
I'm
going to really
get a brand new Porsche Panamera, and I'm going to El Camino this shit out of it.
I mean, you know, we
it's going to be a German mullet.
Well, you know, the guy on the other end of the line here who's trying to talk, he's bagging on my El Camino and his dad's El Camino and everything. But you know what? His rat rod is basically an early El Camino.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, your voodoo.
Your red voodoo.
Your voodoo is an El Camino of sorts.
You've completely made a left turn. Actually, I made three left turns.
So we're close to where we started.
Make one more, and we're right back to the beginning.
Hey, Matt, I have a quick question for you. How did your Alpha do in the auction? I didn't get to see it finished. Did you make your money back on it?
No, I took a huge loss. Are you
kidding?
That's
too bad.
So I...
I was worried about that. I was worried about that.
No, but I knew what it was going to be. So here's the deal: is I bought the car for I don't know, roughly 10, a few years back, and yeah, I put a lot into it and fixed it up, sold it for $13,300. So, you know, I sold it for more than what I paid, and I think $13,300 is a fair price for that car.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but you know, also it. You know, I got to have some fun with it, and I got to drive it.
That's what I was going to say. You got to drive it, you know.
And we got to share all about it here and all the things we're doing to it. Yeah, it was kind of fun. And the guy who bought it is a sweet guy. He's, I think he's a lawyer out of Texas. And it's his first time buying anything on Bring a Trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had bid once before, and he didn't get it. And there was a few people bidding, and it went into overtime, and just kind of out of nowhere, he threw in a bid and won it. And then we spoke on the phone for, I don't know, 40 minutes. We had a nice conversation, and that's it. So he's setting up the transport, and the truck's going to come and get it, and you know, I'll polish it all up and have a nice little car.
I'm kind of with Aaron. I was kind of worried because when you were putting out the little crying emojis and please bid, it's going down the last hours.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, well, I have to say that for the guy's first experience, he bought a nice car, a very sorted car from a really nice guy. So I have to say thank you for giving him a nice experience the first time around, because not all of us get a great experience first time around buying something in a
boy, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, buddy.
Right?
Yeah. I like the guy. We've been texting. We've been talking, and, you know, he's asking a few questions about the car, and he's getting kind of excited about it. And
cool.
And I'm very, very straight up with everything on the car, all the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in there is we've talked about everything. And you know, he bought a $13,000 car, you know, that he's going to have some fun with.
Now, is it true that you actually told the guy for an extra $50 you'd sign the glove box door?
I did not. I said I'll remove my signature for $50. For $50, I'll...
Well, you know, Matt, the service list and that paperwork on next to the it might need paperwork, the might need list is much bigger than the list you've already gone through to put it where it is now.
You know, mechanically, this thing is on point. I mean, mechanically, this thing is on point. Like, if you really think about everything that I've done.
And it has a clear rear window.
It has a brand new clear
rear
window on it.
Window.
Yeah, it does. Which, I live in Venice area. We have our boat stores over there. And as you know, being in boating as well, is... what I do is you know, we're all familiar with Meguiar's and as car polishing companies, but they make a marine product as well, and they have a fantastic spray that is a like cleaner polisher, but UV protectant for clear plastic. You can use it all in the boat world. It's in a blue bottle, and you go to like one of the boat stores or something, and you can get it. And I just use it once a week, once every 10 days on the rear, and it just keeps it nice and clean. It really protects that browning of the sun damage or anything. I cannot recommend that stuff enough. Or just do something on your rear.
You
plastic.
Spray it on your arms when you go to the beach?
Heck yeah, I do.
Yeah, man.
Mostly in my eyes, just directly in my eyes, because I don't want to get...
You don't want cloudy headlights.
No, no.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, mostly just directly into my eyes.
The Now I forgot what I was going to ask you.
That's
Matt.
All right.
Damn it.
We've been driving some cars, so we'll just get into that. We can talk about your boring-ass car, my sweet-ass Aston Martin.
I know, yeah. You know, you had an Aston Martin to drive, but
with the most terrible color ever.
But I want to – what? Chartreuse is not the color of your choice?
It was highlighter yellow?
Yeah.
Or safety vest yellow?
Yeah, it was like, woo!
Why didn't you just get a vinyl wrap for the week?
I wish.
The 80s are back. So.
It's interesting how Aston Martin is trying to do a little bit of these kind of wild Lamborghini colors, if you will.
Yeah.
But I always see the brand as sort of the gentleman's GT car, even sports car, and you know, I saw the light powder blue one. I think that Galpin's running around with that one's kind of nice. And I've seen them in white. When I had the DB11, it was white with blue and white interior. That was gorgeous. Honestly, this car, even in a British racing green, this thing would be slick. But it was an Aston Martin Vantage, and you know, I covered some of this on the CarCast stuff, but I'll tell you that it's pretty fantastic for what it is, considering Aston Martin is still kind of hand built, and the cost of ownership is still a little high.
What was the sticker on that? Round three, what?
No, no. The Vantage is sort of the entry-level one, if you will.
Oh, so it's got the V8?
It's got the V8.
Okay.
So the DB11 is the bigger one, and now there's a DBS.
I can't keep them all straight because they keep adding.
This is meant to be sort of their 911 fighter. You know, I say that, but it's more like 911 turbo.
Well, you blind them, and then they can't keep up.
Yeah. This would be like 911 turbo, Acura NSX, Audi R8, maybe F-Type SVR Jag in that area. So it stickers at 153, and then the one that I drove had...
Ferrari California.
Is it really that low? No. 150? What does a California go? Sub
200? No, anything with a Ferrari, it gets more, but, you know, it's...
Maybe...
I'm saying the guy who might consider a California might gravitate over to that.
Yeah, you're right. So, 153 base sticker price. This had a bunch of carbon fiber and the carbon ceramic brakes, and it got up to about 183 or 185. And if you think about it, the way these options are in these cars, you know, 30,000 of options. This is almost like right on par with Acura NSX. The base is around 150 or so. You can get it up to 200, the NSX, with all the carbon fiber bits. Mm-hmm. But nicely equipped NSX is about 180 something. So this is like right on par with that. I think they're very different cars. But this is what I do like about it is, one, it looks fantastic. Alcantara everywhere on the inside was gorgeous. And now the engines, Aston Martin said, you know, we love doing the V8s, having a V8 car, but we don't want to make the V8s. We are a 12-cylinder company. So their naturally aspirated 6-liter 12 is now a twin-turbo 12 with 600 horsepower. So they partnered up with Mercedes-AMG. And they went to the AMG arm over there and said, what do you got? Let's work together. So the AMG engine is 503 horsepower, 505 pound-feet of torque at 2,000 RPMs. It's a 4-liter V8 twin turbo directly out of like the C63 performance pack or C63S and one of the other cars. The tuning is a little bit refined for Aston Martin.
Do you know how much that car weighs?
I don't. It's I want to say mid 3,000s.
Okay.
It's not super heavy.
Yeah.
If I had to guess 34 or 50.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You know? But now we have an Aston Martin that was traditionally a GT car. We have an Aston Martin that does 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds, has a top of 195. Very well balanced. It's front engine, but it's front mid. So the front of your engine, the pulleys and stuff, basically are in line with the front axle.
So you've got that really pulled back.
Yeah.
That's why it's got that long nose.
That's right. It's got that long nose, and it really kind of tucks up under the cowl. But it's also a transaxle car, similar to a Corvette. And the transaxle lines up with the rear axle. So, and it's an 8-speed paddle shift. So the car is basically a near-perfect 50-50 weight ratio. And it does make a difference.
Wow.
It sounds great. It's quick. I drove around.
It's really loud, isn't it?
It's loud, but I mean, not really loud.
I mean, I was next to one.
Inside the car, it's loud, but not as loud as you think. There's a sport mode, which is normal. Sport Plus and Track. You hit it in Sport Plus, you can hear the valves open.
Okay.
And it gets a little louder.
Wow.
Now, it doesn't have a lot of that that kind of deceleration, snap, crackle, and pop. You know, the car that kind of rules that, believe it or not, right now, when you put it in paddle mode and sport mode, is that Jaguar F-Type SVR.
That thing
just snorts and growls like a wild beast.
It does.
and I'm telling you, if you drive an SVR convertible... That thing is a maniac, and it sounds great. Like you go downtown LA, hit the tunnel, that thing, it's an explosion in there. It's actually pretty cool. This wasn't quite like that, but everything is adjustable. What's that?
I said, does it spit flames too?
I wish it did.
Yeah, I wish it
yeah,
did.
I wish it did. It would be awesome. So I do like it. But the crazy thing about this is when you get into some higher-end cars, I remember getting into the new Jag XJ, the big one. And one of the things that kind of stands out was just on the dash, they have the round AC vents and they're kind of aluminum trimmed, which I like instead of just plastic. But the tension on them was nice. It was smooth. It was almost like a tight ball bearing. So it had the right amount of tension on it, you know. And when I drove the DB11, that was one of the things that lacked. And I know I'm nitpicking AC vents in the car, but I'll tell you why it annoys the shit out of me, is the Aston Martin Vantage had the same vents. And they were kind of flimsy, and they were plastic. And because both of these are performance cars, when you get on it and you hit some bumps on the, like, the 405 free or whatever, those things flick up. When you hit a bump, they can't stay.
Yeah, that,
they don't stay where they're supposed to be.
That shouldn't happen in any car,
Any car shouldn't happen. You're cruising down. You're doing 60, 70 down the 405, and the road's shit, and it's cut up. When you go up and down and you hit a bump, the AC vents pop up, and you have to redo them. You have to push them, and you're like, why is it getting hot in here all of a sudden?
Aston Martin has to change the floppy vents.
They do. They have to change the floppy vents. You think it's a non-issue, but it's one of the things that you experience in the car all the time. Right?
Yeah,
it'd be like, you know, like, it's a big choice ordering a car, a performance car, with or without a radio, right? That's a big commitment. And then when you get it, you're like, oh, I ordered it lightweight, no radio. And then you realize I'm using my headphones and my earbuds
exactly,
all the time
yeah.
when you're driving it because you're sitting in traffic going to that Cars and Coffee in the morning and you've got no tunes or you got to be on the phone. Like, and so now you got your AirPods, your Apple AirPods in, and you're listening to music.
You're trying to hear why you're sitting in traffic because,
yeah.
you know, you don't know why. And
yeah.
You don't have a radio.
And this
car. It's always the little things, though. It's like that the Jaguar SVR that we're talking about. You and I both drove it, and it was almost perfect in every way, except for the seats were a little too competition for a street car. You know, little too stiff, and they were nice when you were on it, but the rest of the time it was a little, boy, I could get a little more comfortable on these. You know? So it's always the little things.
So I did drive it around in normal mode, and I was driving it around with the girl, and she's like, I love it. It's great. It's a little bumpy. You know, that's always the gauge, right? Because
that's what Charlotte said about the SVR. She goes, for as much as this car is, it's not very comfortable. She goes, it rides so stiff. And I go, but that's what makes it drive nice.
Right.
You know?
I like it that way. And all the cars that I have, like, you know, all the cars got some bump and rattle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I just forget that's like cars actually ride nicer than that. You know, every once in a while, we'll get the Rolls Royce or something over here and be like, wow, that's a treat. But some people are like, you know, my Range Rover's pretty nice. My Cadillac's pretty nice. My whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I drive an M3 with coilovers on it.
Exactly.
I drive an Alfa Romeo Spider with lowering springs. And
every car
shocks.
I've ever had has been lowered.
Yeah,
so
everything is kind of bumpy to me. So I get in a new Aston Martin. I'm like, the ride is fantastic. She's like, really? It's a little bumpy. I was like, wait till I put it in track mode if you think it's bumpy now.
Well, I had that Cadillac CT6, that big boat, you know, and Charlotte was like, oh, this drives great. And I'm like, feels a little squishy to me, you know, when you're getting on on-ramp and stuff, you know. But
Aaron's in the same boat, right? Because Aaron's got the little Mini Cooper, and you got, like,
everything.
Like, everything's bumpy.
Mini Cooper's hard, the rat rod's hard. But you know what, Matt? My vents in my BMW, those middle top vents, you know, they do that too. It just, throughout the day, if it gets warm, as soon as it gets hot in the car, boop, they drop. So they do the opposite.
I think you should shove a Twizzler in there.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
My El Camino, the vents stay in place.
Yeah, because there's no vents.
No, it's got air conditioning.
It does.
Yes, it does. It's got factory air vents, and they stay in place, man. Those matchbooks stuffed under them, they keep them right where they need to be.
Because they haven't moved in 2 decades.
That's right. And the mullet in the back draws the air over your ears and cools your head.
You mentioned the Cadillac.
Big news at Cadillac.
Yeah, well, the CT6, that looked like an amazing car. I saw the CT6V at the auto show, which, by the way, is in the new season of Ray Donovan. That's his new car.
Oh, that's his new car?
CT6V, yeah.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't know that because I don't have HBO or Showtime anymore because Dish Satellite got into a tiff, and I haven't seen any of my shows.
Just get HBO Go or something and watch everything on demand.
Well, I've got it, but I don't like...
there's too many buttons to click.
Yeah, just so you know.
You could get like cable like the rest of the world. Anyway, Ray Donovan's running around in that CT6, and I went and I saw it, and I liked it, and it's got a great engine. And then I sort of meandered over to the Genesis booth. This is the luxury arm of Hyundai. And I know it's still kind of getting like a little bit of a bad rap because like, yeah, you know, it's a Hyundai, blah, blah, blah. But we did this back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Honda and Acura, Nissan and Infiniti, Toyota and Lexus. And eventually they sort of earned their stripes, if you will.
Right.
Right? I got to tell you, I went over to the big Hyundai Genesis, the G90, which is kind of the flagship car. The interior of that car was nicer than that Cadillac.
Really?
By a noticeable margin.
Really?
Wow.
You poke your head in there and you're like, this car is freaking sweet.
So, Ray Donovan's going to come over and kick your ass for saying
that. Yeah. So I'm going to grab one of those Genesis, and I'm just going to eBay an Audi logo, and I'm going to just stick it on the front just to see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's the ploy that Adam's going to pull on his wife next time. She's like,
she won't know. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I got you the newest Audi. It's a Genesis with the Audi.
Hell, you could today, you could just 3D print the logos, make them fit right on the dash.
Yeah. You can put them everywhere.
Put
right?
a new grill in there that has the Audi logo, and man, you'd be done.
And then I know she'll tell all of her friends, what are you driving? I'm driving the Audi Genesis. What's that? It's new.
And then when they got in, they go, you know, we it's different from my Audi because Adam got me my own.
He custom made it. So they have a G70, which is sort of 3 series size,
yes,
a G80, and then a G90. And the G70 is new. The media seems to love it. I've never driven any of these cars, so I put on the request to send me a G70, please. Thank you. And then also a G90. I want to see the big dog. So I want to see the $35,000 car, and I want to see the $70,000 car.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And I'm just curious. I'd love to try it and see.
I've driven one years ago, and you know what? I was amazed at how nice they drive. And
I'll tell you this: like a G90, which seems like a really nice car, is $70,000. But because it's kind of a new brand, and they have to sort of, you know, make a way for themselves. I was talking to our buddy Alistair Weaver from Edmunds, and I'm like, what's the resale? He's like, unfortunately, not very good. I said, yeah, but that means if I like a G90, can I go get one
buyer
with 12,000 miles on it for 48,000? And he's like, yeah, you're pretty much good.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a bad way to go, right? Like, it's fun to have your hot rods and stuff for the weekends and whatever, but what if you're sitting in traffic all the time, you're commuting? Why not have, like, you know, the Korean 7 series.
Hey,
for less than $50,000.
You know, people forget how many quality things are made in Korea. I mean, you know, they really are. You know, it's they have manufacturing down to a science, and they do it very, very well.
It seems like a decent enough car. But anyway, that was one of the brands that stood out to me at LA Auto Show, and I'll tell
does
you guys more about the LA Show.
Does it come in the highlighter color?
I don't think so, but I think we could wrap it.
We could definitely wrap it.
I'll tell you guys more about the LA Auto Show, but I want to hear about your Acura that you were driving.
I'm going to tell you about that right after I tell you about...
Hey, Brad, will you tell me about Continental belts?
I'm going to.
Put your glasses on first.
I'm going to. I got to put my eyes on because we got to read it correctly. Hey, when you're under the hood, ever notice how often you see Continental belts?
Yes.
There's a reason for that, Matt. Continental is one of the largest original equipment suppliers for the automotive industry. Automakers around the world insist on Continental for original equipment belts. The U.S. Big Three, BMW, VW, all over 30% of new vehicles sold in North America. You know what that says? It says Continental knows OE because they are OE Continental, OE Technology Series multi-V belts for the automotive aftermarket are precision engineered for a perfect fit, form, and function with true OE pedigree. they're the belts engines already know. So you can confidently, mm-hmm. not confidentially, you can confidently spec Continental's multi-V belts. There's one for 98% of vehicles on the road today. You might not know it, but Continental is also a leader in automotive technology, electronic components for things like autonomous driving and accident-free zones. That focus on innovation in every product they make, including OE Technology Series aftermarket belts. Continental, check them out.
Yeah, do it.
So,
sure. There you go.
Before you tell us about the LA Auto Show, mm-hmm. I lied. I said we were over SEMA, but there's one thing I want to tell you guys about.
The Acura.
I drove to SEMA the Acura RDX. It was the all-wheel drive, the advanced model. And now this thing has a 279 horsepower.
Hold on a second. Aaron, how did you get the SEMA?
I walked. actually, I rented a Lime scooter, and
I wonder how many of those
Lime scooter did have a nicer ride than Red Voodoo.
Yes, exactly.
Prior to SoCal fixing it.
How many of those little rental scooters do you think it would take to get to Vegas from downtown LA? Like if every time one ran out, there was another one sitting there. I think that's a show we should do.
Yeah.
We could get them to sponsor it, and they would just have a truck going, and when it runs out, boom, we get on another one.
Yeah. They're kind of bumpy.
Can you imagine? Have you ever seen the guys, like, you know, they're riding their road bike and in the middle of nowhere, and you're mm-hmm. driving along, you're going, where's that guy going or coming
from? Where's
he
going?
That'd be like all these people. I'd be afraid that going or, you know, to Vegas, you'd get some guy to throw something at you. He'd be like, ah, sucker.
Yeah,
you
right?
know, it's, but
when we go to LA on 395, we see bicyclists, even during the winter. And it's like, I'm going, where are they going? Where are they coming from? Are they freaking nuts?
It sounds so boring.
Riding a bicycle in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, nuts.
I know. It's
absolutely crazy.
I mean, I'm driving in my car and I get bored.
Yeah.
Can you imagine on a bike? You're like, geez. But, hey, that's not what we're talking
all
about.
All right.
We're talking about the Acura. And it had, as I said, 279 horsepower, 3.5 liter.
What does it look like?
Okay. This is an SUV.
Okay.
And
it's like a midsize SUV?
It's a midsize SUV.
They have a small one and a big one.
Well,
They have a small, medium,
this is the smaller. This is the mid-sized one.
Right. Okay.
Okay? Because this is the RDX. Now, before you heard me talk about the MDX, and the MDX is a little bit bigger, has a little more horsepower, and this one was just take that and kind of squeeze it down a little
bit. Yeah, okay.
And the first thing I noticed was when I loaded it up, because going to SEMA, you know, I had some gear to take, all of our sound gear, all of our things.
George the dog.
Had George the dog, which always goes. But, but you know, have a lot to take to SEMA, and it filled up a lot quicker than the one that I drove to Arizona. And, but not bad. Not bad at all. It had plenty of room. The thing I like about the Acura vehicles, these SUVs that I've driven, is they just seem to do everything right. They're not, you know, they're not the one that you see on the road and you go, wow, look at that. That thing is, you know, they're great looking. They're handsome, but they're not made to stick out. Mm-hmm. They're kind of blended. But boy, are they comfortable. Boy, are they nice. The 6-speed transmission that they put in them, just, you don't even know it's shifting. It's just
cruising.
Does it
come in Dave Merrick orange?
No.
Like on the NSX?
The one that I had was black with black wheels.
Oh.
And the
murdered out.
Yes, it was. But no, it was a great looking vehicle. But the interior on these things, you should drive one sometime, because the interiors are just everything. You know how there's vehicles that have way too many buttons? There's vehicles that this one had just the right amount.
Like
you what?
I said, like a Lamborghini Urus. Have you seen that interior?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's funny. The Aston Martin had the same thing. That was the big complaint. There was just a lot of buttons.
Yeah, you know.
There's a button for everything.
Yeah.
It's like, but this had an information center, and it took care of everything. Apple you know, the Apple Play.
The CarPlay.
CarPlay is just so nice. It integrates so well. Mm-hmm. And then everything works. And the heated and air-conditioned seats, which that time of year, you need them both. Because in the morning, you want the heat. In the afternoon, you want the...
But there's nothing worse than sweaty balls.
There isn't. But great gas mileage. What I want you to do is I want you to go to our website, look at the gallery, because we drove it to Vegas, had a great trip. I can't recommend the vehicle enough because it really does do everything right. And the LED lighting, man, it lights up the desert like crazy at night. They call them diamond headlights. And the other thing is that it found its way to Alien Beef Jerky on the way home. And,
all by itself?
In Baker, California. Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. It was like the computer just
sounds
pulled
like
it right
the
in
dog
there.
Was driving.
And, and we got some Alien Beef Jerky, and then we were back on the road.
Yep.
So, no, great car. It really does. And we're doing a, over at Man Seeks Adventure, we're doing a feature video on our trip to Vegas, and that'll be out next week, and it features some great shots and driving impressions of the Acura RDX. So go check it out and see what we thought about it.
That sounds good. I like it.
It was. It was. You know what? You talk about a daily driver that I would choose the MDX over the RDX, having driven them both, because I like a little more horsepower, like a little bit more room. But it would be a great daily driver because it's just really does everything right, and it's comfortable and easy to drive.
I was thinking about that too with the Jaguar I-Pace, the all electric one.
Yes,
you know, I know I bitched about the lack of infrastructure for charging the thing. You got to have a charger at home, but again, it was quick. It was about the right size, about the size of a midsize sedan,
which it's very close to the size of this. Yes,
and it would fit in that category. It was nice and sporty, and it was kind of interesting. It was kind of fun.
So what happened on the at the LA Auto Show, man? I missed the entire week. Yeah. I had a bunch of stuff going. I never even made it up this year, which really bums me out because I enjoy going. And, you know, I feel like you get that kickstart on 2019 by going. And so tell us about
it. There was a few things that sort of were the highlights of the show. The ones that we heard about a lot of course, is the new Porsche 911. And it's been sort of, you know, sort of nipped and tucked. And I guess you can only do so much on a 911 before it, you know, it has to still look like a 911. So there's so there was that. They had 911S, 911, you know, the base model, the 911S. It looked good. You know, like flush mount or flush like door handles and stuff now. And if anything, the controversy is this little shifter at, you know, everything's paddle shift pretty much these days. I think there's a manual version that they're going to have, but it's paddle shift and it has like a little stick that comes out of the center console and has this weird little grate on the top. It looks like a Norelco shaver. Like it just looks like an electric shaver popping out of the dash, and people have been sort of making fun of it for that. For a while. Yeah, you're going to, when you see it, it looks like a little electric shaver coming out of the dash. So the 911 was great. And then a few other things that kind of garnered a lot of attention on the show is.
Can you tell us about the LA Auto Show?
Yeah. Other than the 911, basically Brad just missed the whole Porsche talk because he went to go pee.
No, don't spread those nasty rumors.
I was talking to just Aaron and nobody in the room talking there. I didn't know what to do with myself. You missed the 911 talk. You have to go back and listen to the
show. I told
you
I should have gone.
That's right. You should have gone. So three other vehicles that kind of stood out to me is. One is the Lincoln Aviator.
Okay.
This is,
their
new SUV. We drove the Lincoln Navigator, the big one, to Monterey this year. This is a step below it. It's the size of like a Ford Explorer, but I think the design is great. It is a three-row SUV, which is a big factor. You know, if you've got the kids or, you know, basketball or soccer team or whatever, and the amount of technology in it is fantastic. You know, just cameras and LEDs and a 28-speaker sound system with speakers in the headliner. And what I
like... Service writer's dream.
What I like is, Lincoln is trying to be a luxury player, and they're understanding, similar to Rolls-Royce, that hospitality is a big part of the luxury experience. So if you want a Black Label, one of the higher-end cars, or...
I liked what you were going to call it, a Blinken.
A Blinken, the Black Label edition. Like, if you want to buy it, they'll come here. They'll come here to Bonspeed office. They'll bust out the case with the leather samples and the paint samples. You choose your options. You buy the vehicle. They'll bring it here for you. You don't have to go into the dealer.
They're
going to
ask me for a credit card.
Yeah,
though.
They're going to have to do a credit card. Give them Aaron's card.
Yeah.
And if it ever needs service, they'll bring another one here for you. And then they'll just pick up yours and take it off.
It's a full concierge service.
It's a full concierge service. And then all the little things they build into the car, they're like, we realize that when you don't fasten your seatbelt, it makes that ding, ding, ding sound, and we hate that. And then, you know, when you put the key in, it makes this noise. And when you turn the signals, it makes this noise. And we're like, so we worked with the Detroit Philharmonic. And we got them to make all the chimes and the sounds. And some of them are just like, you know, French horn or some strings. And so every time you don't fasten your seatbelt, it's kind of lovely.
I thought you were going to say, we worked with a Philharmonic and a little, like a conductor's wand comes out and swatch it.
Yeah,
hey, put on your seatbelt.
Yeah. So you still get a ding, but it's not like, it's just not like a computer generated ding, right?
It's a
like,
dun, 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 dun.
Now, it's not as glorious as that, but it's just like, it's like a smooth, like nicely recorded, like horn, just like beam, beam, beam,
yeah.
but some sort of like French horn Instead or of, something, or yeah, and it's wow. really kind of. And they actually played a bunch, and were like, eh, that's actually kind of nice, you know. Yeah, it kind of makes me sit there in the car for a minute and go, I'll put my seatbelt on in a second. Give me a second.
I was just gonna say, maybe you don't want to.
Yeah,
now.
Just
maybe.
Give me a second. I'll get to it. You don't have to play your lovely chimes at me. Adam Carolla has had this bad luck recently where he's like, you know, some assistant like drove the wife's Tesla and put the key on the tire, and then he didn't know that. And you can get in the car and drive it with the key
because
being
the key's
closed,
there,
and it's close enough, and it's not in the car. So he ran it over and squished it, and then when he shut the car down, he couldn't move it, and it was blocking the garage door. And he couldn't get his other car out, and then something else happened. Like he,
why is it I don't feel bad for him?
Yeah, right. And then I don't know. He was driving the other car. And, you know, like the car was running and he went inside and he used the keys to open the door and he got back in the car and forgot the keys and left. But then when he got to like the store, you couldn't start the car again. The car can drive away without the key and not tell you. And anyway, so Adam was telling me all the story.
You know, we don't have that problem because we don't have assistance.
No, we don't have assistance. And also, we drive cars with a regular key.
Exactly,
like everything's kind of old school with those. So another feature is of course the Lincoln has the keypad, so you can get in there. It's kind of hidden now behind the thing, but now it's all controlled by your iPhone. You know, so there's no more ever losing your key. Like you could be in New York.
Yeah, because nobody loses their iPhone because that's your life.
Well, no,
man.
But here's the thing: is you can get in the car through a key fob and drive away. You can use the keypad on the door, or you can use your iPhone and do it. So you could literally be like, "I can't get into my car. My wife's in New York," and she can go, "Oh, I can just open it for you," or you can whip out the phone and just do it and start it and do whatever.
So she can remotely open it
yes.
and start it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a point where people are going to steal people's iPhones and they'll have their whole life. Because like now at my ATM at the bank I go to, it says you don't need your ATM card anymore. Just log into your account. We'll give you a password to put
in. You don't have to do that. You just walk up and you wave your phone.
Yeah.
And,
it's like, geez.
And it does the face scan. I use it all the time. Yeah, with the phones, at least we have like remote wipe and tracking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But really cool features. And then the guy actually, the Lincoln, one of the tech guys, I went to the presentation before the LAL show. And like the president of Lincoln, she makes a speech and then the designer does and the technology guy does and the audio guy does. The technology guy was literally like, he's like, if you've ever driven a Tesla, here's a problem with the key fob. And it was funny that like 10 hours earlier, I just heard about driving over a Tesla T fob. And he's like, well, our fob, he's like, when you're in a few meters of the car awakes. And then when you get real close, it'll unlock the door. And then when you get in it, it can start it. But it has like multiple levels of that.
Here he comes. He's getting closer.
Yeah. And it's like, welcome. And then
And the horns go dun da da da.
There's a the Detroit Philharmonic, the
dun dun da da dun da dun da dun da dun.
Now that we have
horns go off when you fart in the car.
Yeah, no, it purifies it. It turns it into
gold dust.
The gold dust,
and it goes automatically into the ashtray.
We have these cameras all over the cars for for the speed sensitive cruise control and
so you don't run into stuff.
Yeah. And so they're saying, well, we have this camera information already being gathered, so let's use it for more stuff. And
so they're going to compile a video of each of your days and email it to you, right?
So now if you're backing out and, the kid's bicycle is out there or George the dog's playing in the driveway, if you're backing out, it'll actually hit the brakes for you if there's something there and you don't even see it. It uses the cameras, whether you're looking or not, it'll hit the brakes, right?
What if you're trying to run it over?
If you're trying to crush George the dog.
Hey, don't even talk like that.
Yeah. And then the front camera, they have one that's like up in the rear view mirror and it looks out the glass and it looks as far as it can. And if it has an air ride suspension, and if it sees a pothole or something, it adjusts the suspension ahead of time to make it smooth.
We're
like, this is cool stuff. Yeah. I love this technology, provided everything works.
So, I think it should.
The car trying to get airborne.
I think it should,
accordingly.
Email your wife's phone a little video that the kids left their bikes in the driveway again.
Yeah.
And see, look, here it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And she,
see, I told you to move that stuff.
But it adjusted the ride when I ran over the kids' bikes.
Yeah,
it was much smoother.
It was much smoother. Yeah, it was fantastic. Didn't even feel that dog under the tire.
And with the quietness of the glass,
yeah.
You couldn't even hear its cries.
It did give us a lovely chime.
Yes.
I couldn't tell if that was the dog or it was the vehicle. But anyway, so that one was pretty cool. And then the two other vehicles that I, for lack of a better term, stole the show, at least as far as press, was these all-electric truck called the Rivian.
I saw that online, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. It's a startup company and a couple of smart kids, I don't know, MIT kids or something, and they had an SUV and a pickup truck, and it's all-electric. It's very cool because when you remove the conventional drivetrain, engine, transmission kind of stuff, you have a four-door pickup truck, and behind the second door, like kind of near the bed of the truck, there's like a cutout, there's like a flush mount door kind of in the back, and you realize if you open it and then you open the other side, it's a complete pass through from passenger to driver side, because you don't have a transmission or anything going over there, right? So you have all this room, flat floors and stuff. And now when you start getting into the utility of electric cars, like, this is kind of neat. So there's going to be three battery sizes, and the smallest one, I don't know the exact range on it, but it'll be like 0 to 60 in 5.2 seconds, and it'll tow and it'll move stuff.
Where are they making them at?
So far, I believe it's all an American company. I can't say for sure. And then there's a medium battery. The larger battery, we're told, it's basically a full-size.
Sorry, everyone. Dave Merrick's calling to find out why we're not talking about Acura.
So. We just did. So it's a full-size four-door. Imagine, Tundra, F-150-ish, four-door crew cab, five-foot bed kind of truck. The big battery is 0 to 60 in like 3.9, somewhere in the threes. 400 mile range and 11,000 tow capacity.
Really? Wow.
Now, I don't know if you can tow with that 11,000 pounds for 400 miles. Probably not.
No, but you'll burn it up, but 400 miles in itself is a huge capacity compared to.
And if you think about it, the best selling vehicle in the United States by a long shot are our pickup trucks.
Yes. Ask Ford.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the second best selling thing are the SUVs. No longer like a Camry or Accord. It's like a RAV4, right? So the SUV world. So although their SUV is kind of large, instead of launching with, actually, we talked about Hyundai Genesis. They make a pretty nice car, but one of the flaws in their system was they launched sort of a small, medium, large car before anything else.
Right.
And now they're getting into a Genesis SUV, which is definitely going to increase their sales significantly. This small startup company is starting with a piece of that pickup truck market and that SUV market. So they look kind of cool.
Yeah, they're not bad looking. No,
the technology seems great. They had a great display at the LA Auto Show. And I'd like to say they're in good shape because they've got $500 million.
I was just going to say, who's backing them? Yeah.
Yeah. So they got $500 million in venture funding, but you know, the car world, $500 million.
It's gobbled up.
Like, it doesn't even get you a seat at the table.
Ask your buddy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
like it's a tough world to get into. But they have great prototypes, and I'm sure they're going to need a lot more money to do production and dealer network and all kinds
of
stuff.
They're going to need a ton more
money. But it was impressive. So we have that, and then the Jeep Gladiator.
An awesome. Didn't they? I mean, they used to make a pickup truck years and years ago, but why it took them so long?
Yeah, they've been working on it for a while. They've been teasing it. They have concepts. This is a four-door Jeep with a pickup truck bed. It's pretty good size, and it's got all of the attributes you'd expect of Jeep. And the guys at Mopar, super smart over there, they said, hey, if we're going to display a Jeep, even though it's a new vehicle, we need a Mopar version. And they had the tricked out one with the lights and the removable doors and the bars on the sides instead. And Mopar is like, this vehicle, when it comes out, there's going to be a whole catalog of stuff you can do to it right off the bat.
A Moab, a Jeep Moab, mm-hmm. over when I was in Phoenix for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I walked around that thing twice. I mean, because the parts that they're building for those, they integrate so well that mm-hmm. I was going, did this come like this or did it? And then I had to bring it up on my phone and compare it to the one, you know, that you can
yeah.
buy. And man, I was thinking when I saw that Jeep pickup truck come out, I went, put all those parts on that, and that thing would be badass.
Yeah, and they did. They did there. And they had a bunch of Jeeps outfitted as well. And this is really one of those things that, that Aaron, you should get a hold of as a press vehicle. I don't know what it takes to get a press vehicle in fucking Tahoe, but
they probably say, come to L.A.,
yeah,
get
come
it.
To LA,
and,
get
oh,
it.
You won't have enough miles, so you have to have it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll deliver it to Bakersfield.
I'm working on it.
But you know what? You probably could, very seriously, get one out of, like, San Francisco and drive it around San Marin by your dad's and then, you know, do it that way. It'd probably be really cool.
Yeah, I love to get your take on it as sort of in that world, and not just the streets. Like, kind of get it out there in the dirt and see what the wife thinks. It rides a little rough, you know. Your Jeep rides like an Aston Martin.
I like them that way.
I like them that way.
Yep.
Did you go to Audi's press deal?
I didn't go to the press thing, but they had the e-tron, which is fantastic, and the new design of Audi's I think were great. I saw them. S5 and the mm-hmm. you know the RS5 and the TT and they're fantastic. I wish it had a manual, but it doesn't. But the e-tron, they had like a sedan and like a little SUV. It's sharp styling. Now their big four-door sedan electric vehicle, I don't know what the real name is going to be. Maybe it's going to be e-tron, is basically the Porsche Mission E, which we now know is going to be called the Taycan. Or Taycan, I think. T-A-Y-C-A.
Yeah, it's like the Taycan or something.
Taycan. Taycan. It seems Taycan. Weird to me because I think of Liam Neeson.
It's, exactly.
I have a particular
yeah.
set of yes. skills. I'm going to steal your Audi and your Porsche. But it was
it's probably the Taycan.
Because we have the Macan.
And so it's the Taycan.
Is it Taycan? Taycan?
I don't know.
Taycan? I don't know, but I would have been fine with Mission E, by the way. But it's largely based on that platform, and it's Audi's version of it. And it's weird how like Porsche's really been pushing the Mission E. Mission E is going to be cool, and it will. We saw it at Monterey. And then Audi's like, yep, we're doing that too. And why shouldn't they?
Oh, well, no. They've got it all right under the same roof. Why not? I just thought maybe you'd go over to see, the debut when they had Iron Man there. So
no, I didn't see the Iron Man.
Yeah, he was there. Well, what's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yes.
Yeah.
He debuted their car there, and
I didn't get to their press event.
Yes.
But I did see Goldberg's Hellcat sleigh in the.
Yeah, how is that in person?
It's fucking badass.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. They really did a nice job. Like I know they said, hey, let's build this thing for the commercial. We can get away with it really being sort of a commercial piece. But mm-hmm. Aaron should know this better than anybody because Aaron's worked in sort of the – in what's the right term? But sort of the the set world, Hollywood set world.
Set design.
Set design world. Right. They made this to live long enough to make to do the car shows. Like, it has a pretty good coat of paint, and it's I don't know what they made it out of, but it's nice, and it got a lot of attention. People were taking tons of photos of it. And,
but were they letting people sit in it?
No.
Well, because I've seen several photos of people sitting in it.
Oh, maybe they opened it up during
and the auto show. Like, that's not going to last long if they let, you know, because you know how people
are.
Yeah,
maybe
you know?
Maybe for the auto show they kind of opened it up to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like
it was
a
kids.
One at a time.
I didn't see any adults. Yeah. I saw kids.
But it was kind of cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool to do. And they're rolling out all the commercials and all the social media like little bits and stuff. And they're funny. Goldberg had a great time doing it. His stuff was funny. And, you know, he's like... the one now is losing the jelly belly, and they cut to it. It's Goldberg, and he's like, I used to look like this. Cut to the fat Santa, and he's like, now I'm like this. And he's all jacked and thin, and he's like, I lost the jelly belly.
Did he get pumped up just for the commercial?
Oh, yeah. He's always pumped up. You know, I tell you one thing about it. It's like Goldberg is one of these guys. He's, I don't know, he's going to be 52, I think, this month. He's always stayed trim. You know, like a lot of the wrestlers, they still hit the gym and stuff, but they, you know, they drink a lot of beer. Stone Cold Steve Austin drink a lot of beer. Steve's a sweetheart of a guy, and he's my neighbor. You know, every time I see him, he's like, "Yeah, I'm not drinking beer this month. I'm just drinking. You know, I got to cut back. You know, just lose."
It's like some actors that I know that they're like, "Well, I don't really have anything going on right now, so I'm eating." And you go, "Wow, you packed on some weight." And then you see them the next time, and they're like, "Trimmed down and all." And you're like,
"Well, Bill Goldberg has been trim like the entire time I've known him. He's a fanatic about it in his gym and what he does, and he's always in his Muay Thai gym working out, and he's doing stuff, and he's, you know, he...
Does he get up at 2:30 in the morning, too, and work out?
I think he does.
Those guys do. They get... It's crazy.
Crazy.
Actually, I think he's doing a night thing now.
Dedication, man.
He's doing a night thing now, but he'll go to his, like, his big home gym above his garage and sit in his massaging chair and, you know, for almost an hour and then work out. You know, he's
get the blood flowing.
Yeah, he's there till midnight.
I got a night thing going too. I get home from work, and you know, I've got a home gym, and I'm serious. You know, you guys know that. No, I do. I have
a roommate.
I walk past it, and I go to my easy chair, and I watch Netflix and eat. And
do you stand at the door to your gym with an In-N-Out burger and a big gulp and go, look at that. Look at that equipment. That's some nice equipment. It's like, still looks new.
It's like last night.
Brad uses the Uber Eats.
Thank God I haven't got Uber Eats. I don't use
it. Oh, my God. It's addicting.
Yeah, but no. But like last night, I walked past the gym with a big you know, bowl of buttered popcorn that Charlotte made and went up to the front room to watch TV. But you know what? There was this... And when we were talking about Goldberg's commercial, it got me thinking, there's this Kurt Russell movie on that they made for
Netflix. Yeah, I watched it.
And I'm watching it and I go, oh, wait a minute. I thought that car was going to become that. And I thought maybe that's what they had originally made the sleigh for.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. I watched it too. He does use the Dodge Hellcat.
And it's red. And it's...
Yeah. And it's funny because in the movie, he did the same thing where he's like, I'm the real Santa Claus. Yeah. And he's like, why does everybody think I'm fat? He goes, no way, man.
I know.
And, yeah, so it's Kurt Russell and Santa Claus making fun of it. So Dodge is kind of everywhere. They had a great display as well. So I'm not a huge Jeep guy, but I am interested in checking out that one because it's going to be a big seller for them. I think it's going to do well.
Well, Jeep's on fire. I mean, you know, you see them everywhere, and they're doing very well. There's lots of performance and accessory parts for them. So that truck's going to be a winner. So what does it go for? Did they have a price?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk with them about that. But
those things are expensive. I bet you it's 50 or 60. Easy.
Does it have a Hemi in it? Can you get an optional Hemi, I think, probably?
I don't know if you can.
I thought you could in some of the Jeeps now, can't you?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I don't think you can. So here's a question for you guys.
I haven't looked at them in a long time.
Do you think Jeep owners trade in their Jeep for the Gladiator, or do you think it's going to bring new people to Jeep?
Both. I think both. I think we're going to see guys go, hey, I need that extra room. Now I can haul my mountain bike in the back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to see new people that go, all right, that's why I didn't buy a Jeep before, because it didn't have a bed. You know,
yeah.
It made me look very seriously. You know, because we go to SEMA and we see them all tricked out and how cool they look.
Yeah.
I go, man, that might be nice. And you know what? Who'd be a very good person to ask would be my partner, Michael. Because
yeah.
Michael has always had the newest, best Jeep to tow behind his motor coach.
Right. And a Ferrari.
Yeah, and a GT.
Or
and
an AMG,
yeah.
GT.
But no.
Like in his driveway, there's always like Jeep and super expensive.
Well, that's what's
car.
So funny. He's got the, you know, the tricked out, you know, AMG GT. He's got the GT40. He's got,
yeah.
And you know what? Every time I see him, he's driving the Jeep. He drives those Jeeps everywhere. He loves them.
Yeah.
And so I could totally see him getting
Does he drive
one.
The two-door or the four-door?
He's got a four-door.
He does. So
I could totally
it.
See
yeah.
him getting the, you know, because, you know, Mike's always up for the newest, bestest, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what they're saying, don't you? They're saying that that's going to be the new mullet of the automotive world. See, Aaron, how we professionally bring that all back around in a big circle?
I appreciate that.
Well, we're running out of time here, guys.
Bring it around.
So we're going to have a couple more shows before we take a break for the holiday. And I think we've Matt and I have been talking about one guest, an automotive designer, and then we'll probably bring some other stuff in. But then we're going to go away for the holidays. We'll probably take a whole week off and, you know.
Aaron, what's the status of your show, the Torchmate deal? Are you wrapped for a season? Are you doing a new season? What's the deal?
Yeah. Actually, thanks for asking. Yeah, so we wrapped the season. It debuted a couple weeks ago as episode 12 for season 3. And I signed on 2 more seasons. So we'll be rolling 4 or 5 starting in March is the tentative schedule. And I'm planning on going to Ohio to Lincoln Electric's home base and taking a few of their welding schools and getting my skills up to par, because I really want to come into season 4 with no excuses, mm-hmm. you know, and really kick it off, you know, the right way, and being more of an educator rather than a stand to the side and observe and noodle when I can. You know, I really want to dig in hard, and we're going to be listening to the fabrication form and see what people are interested in and see what else we can build and maybe do some automotive stuff this time, you know, some more Jeep stuff. And have more fun with it.
So remind us where everyone can see.
It's a web series, so you can go to Lincoln. It's posted with Lincoln now and with Torchmate, and on YouTube under Torchmate. And we've got some links there on our social media as well.
Cool.
Sounds good.
That sounds great. And congrats on 2 more seasons. Matt, where can they find us online?
They can't.
Okay.
You guys can check us out at Shift and Steer.
Invisible.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
So we become invisible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Go to shiftandsteer.com and you see all the images and stuff that Brad's been putting up of the Acura and stuff and all the SEMA stuff. Go back and listen to the SEMA episodes if you've missed that. I'll tell you, you're going to have fun with the Jesse James interview.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of Chip Foose, you should definitely listen to that episode.
Jesse, you know, Jesse has always, he hasn't changed a bit. He calls him how he likes him.
Yeah, he does. But it's funny because when you see him there on stage, he wasn't doing anything wrong, and he was very lighthearted, and he was having fun.
Yeah.
He didn't mean anything mean or anything like that. He was just calling it like it is.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, remember the day when this happened? And you're like, yeah, we don't really talk about that back in the day. But he's like, wow, that was so much fun. Like, for him, it's a wonderful moment.
Right.
And for everybody else, it's an embarrassing moment. So definitely go back and listen to that.
Well, it put me in a real awkward position because I was their boss, and I was, you know, I own this company, and you come walking around the corner one day, and there's Jesse literally with Chip by the collar, and all I hear is, listen, Art Boy, and I'm like going, whoa, and I'm like having to jump in between them, and I'm thinking, okay, there's probably some basis of why this happened, but I've got to be the boss and jump between you, you know. And it was just funny because it all just comes kind of flooding back in. You go, oh, I remember that, but
you know. Well, it was all funny now. Yeah. So definitely go back and listen to that. All of our social media is at Shift Steer Media. You can find me at Moderator everywhere,
and you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram. Everywhere else, Brad Fanshaw. And Aaron, they can find you where, buddy?
They can find me under Aaron Hagar all over the web, Hagar Googles well, or at theraprunnersgarage.com.
Awesome. Hey, and we'll have another show for you next week and even more great stuff. So make sure you follow us, tell your friends about us, and don't forget, you still need to subscribe to us on iTunes. Thanks, everybody.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.